right, welcome back to The Possibility Show. This is your host, Joe Bang, and I'm a business and life coach. And right now, our guest today is someone that I also look up to. Recently, you know, met up with him. We became acquainted, got to know each other more during the past few years. And I'm very, very excited to talk to him about, you know, what he has done, which is started this cafe in Malaysia. And we're going to be talking about a lot of about him, about his life, and how he has created his possibilities from someone who is the same as me, like as an engineer. And yeah, I can't wait to start. So without further ado, let us all welcome Tomo.
Thank you for Jovan introducing me about this channel.
So for the listeners, could you tell us a bit more about, you know, yourself, who you are, and what do you do?
My name is Tomo Hisa Haraguchi. I just call me Tomo. I'm from Japan. I came to Malaysia since 2010, so almost like 10 years. I own the Japanese bakery shop in Johor Bahru, which is just next to Singapore. Yeah, why I'm doing the bakery, but it's so long story, because I originally totally don't know about the bakery, totally don't know about the business. I was just an engineer.
Yeah,
but end
exactly.
Up now is doing the bakery shop in Johor Bahru, not in Japan. So maybe a lot of questions here, but I try to explain more.
Yes, I just follow the Jovan question. Yes, yes. Yeah, and then we'll definitely talk about that. So the name of your cafe, which is also a, what do you call that? A bakery, a bread store, a bake shop? Because there's so many ways to call it.
Yeah, the bakery. Yes, bakery cafe. Because we mainly focus on the bakery side, more like bread. Not so much cake or pastry, but we focus on bread. At the same time, we of course serve some meals. Our specialty point is the bakery point, the bread.
Yes, and so the bakery cafe that Tomo started or runs currently is called Pan Kobo Cafe.
Yes, Pan Kobo Cafe, yeah.
Pan is bread, right? It means bread.
Oh yeah, you already learned a lot. Yeah, the point, Pan is bread in Japanese. Uh-huh. And Kobo is like a small factory or like atelier, the workshop, and then the cafe. So Pan Kobo Cafe.
Interesting. So it's a bread workshop cafe.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. All right, cool. So okay, let's talk about how you got started first. So you were an engineer, you know, so you really studied engineering and then you worked as an engineer. What was that career like, you know, for you? What kind of engineer were you and how many years did you work as an engineer?
Yep. Actually, my major subject was more like aeronautics. Study about the flight and space engineering when I was uni. But the reality, I started to work with the more like plastic injection and the molding and coolings. Because I already came to Malaysia, because I got the internship when I was uni about this company in Malaysia before. Then I got the opportunity to work with them. And then they are doing about the tooling industry. Because Malaysia is quite much like an industrial place to provide and support for all the product, even to Japan. So this company producing the metal tooling. So I joined at the engineering side and also the marketing side, because this company demand the marketing process to connect with the Japanese client. So I was looking to Japanese client in Malaysia, such as like a Panasonic, Sharp, Fujitsu, and some more, of course not only Japanese company, like a Dyson project, like the vacuum, there's some power components. Yeah, quite something related to the plastic. Yeah, I was working for them.
So during that time, were you like hired because you had that Japanese connections and, you know, you can speak the Japanese language?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got the advantage. I can speak English a bit and also can speak Japanese and also know about the engineering side. And also I technically are working in the factory. I was doing the more like the technical side for I was touching the machine to adjust the parameter, testing the setting.
Even
repairing the machining.
Yeah, well, engineers, so we can actually do that.
Yeah.
So how many?
And I also quite enjoy about it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about my days as an engineer and working on, you know, like big machines, robots, and stuff. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. So how many years were you there working?
Around 2.5 to 3 years, I guess. Yeah, 2010 to about 2013, because I started the bakery in 2013.
Three years. So you're about there two and a half to 3 years. So from 2010 to somewhere around 2013. So now, okay, interesting. So now What happened? Why did you shift from being an engineer to the cafe?
Yeah, the first of all, my intention to come to Malaysia was set up the own business. I already had a mind. I wanted to do the business.
Okay.
Then one of the reasons why I came to Malaysia, I felt here was a chance compared to Japan.
Why is that?
Yeah, because now, of course, a bit, I have another aspect, but the time was already about 10 years ago, around the 10 years ago. So I was quite still beginner as a business. Mm. So I was thinking, the business concept, what I got was, we provide to the customer or community what they need. And then based on my creativity or based on my knowledge or experience, in Japan, I felt too competitive. I feel like Japan got everything there already.
Yeah.
So difficult to provide something like an innovative idea or innovative item or the thing.
True.
For me to produce and then put into the market, I was being so difficult. But the Malaysia was for me was a good point. It was still advancing country, not advanced. Mm. So quite many of the items you don't have even so many systems or so many material things or so many services. I couldn't find it in Malaysia, which I used to see in Japan or overseas other places. Yeah. So I was thinking in Malaysia, more chance to start something. Another point is I was seeing some friends already who I met in Malaysia, almost similar age, quite like a mid of 20s, beginning of 30s. They start have the business already, but the scale is small until the big, quite different type of business. But the reality is my friend doing the business by themselves was quite influenced. I didn't have any business friends in Japan before. Most of my friends work for the company.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get so much environment in Japan about this entrepreneurship. But once I came to Malaysia, I got quite a number of the friends I met. They are doing the business. I felt quite nice.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I thought Malaysia got the more opportunity for me to start something. It's the first thing. Already, I got this one before I came to Malaysia.
So you got the idea when you were still studying, like before you started, is that right?
Yeah, try to make it short, but actually my story is a bit longer. When I was uni in Japan, after 2 years, I stopped my uni, and then I got a break, for long break. Then I went to Australia for study, and it was experience.
Okay.
So the time, of course, first my purpose, why I went to Australia was learning English, and then get more work experience.
Yes.
Then back to Japan, continue uni to graduate. And then I wanted to work for actually the pilot in the flight industry.
Yes.
So that was my first intention, why I came out to Australia and overseas. But the middle of the way, during spending the time overseas for 2 years, I met so many friends, so many kind of, I got the experience. And then I was thinking, business is quite open. And then before I came back to Japan, back to uni, almost like my mind was only two choices: either be a pilot or do the business. I didn't have already an idea to work for company as an engineer already, actually. Of course I applied for being a pilot.
Yeah.
The time my choice was either work for ANA or JAL, it's a Japanese company. So I applied when I was a uni year four. But I went until like a private interview or somewhere like that. Because so many stages, like 6 or 7 stages, and then finally you can get the pilot position, trainee position.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I couldn't go through that until I went until pilot, 5th step or something like that. So after that, I decided, no more Japan. So straight away, I decided to go to Malaysia.
Nice. Okay. And I'm curious because you mentioned that when you met these friends, Malaysian friends, and they were doing their own business. So, and you mentioned you were impressed, right? What impressed you the most about them?
Oh, the first thing is very clear, the age.
The age.
Okay. My image of the boss is quite old. The young age, like 20s, mid of 20s, is quite difficult to be a boss or own the business or start something. I didn't have this idea. Even like just so simple, mobile phone shop. If you talk about in Japan, since when I was junior high or high school, in that period, my image of the mobile phone shop boss is already the boss. Not that easy to be the boss. But when I come to Malaysia, there were so many mobile phone shops, and I got so many mobile phone shop owner. Yeah. So yeah. Mobile phone shop was is everywhere in Malaysia. And I feel like so close with them.
Yeah.
Mobile shop is one of the example, but also like a car repairing shop was, or car audio, like a modification shop was, or like agriculture, some farming was. Yeah, I got quite much opportunity to meet like friends. Then the age is not that old as I thought.
Yeah.
Like around 20, middle of 20s to 30s, they start something already.
Nice. And because of that age, you kind of like thought, you know, like, ooh, I can actually do that as well. Like, it's possible for me.
Yeah, I have a chance to do something for myself. Wow.
Interesting. I wish I had that also so I could have started early, but interesting. So 2013, then you, how did you got the idea to start Pankobo Cafe?
Yeah, before I started the Pankobo Cafe at the bakery, I, of course, all the way, about 2.5 to 3 years, I was looking into what I can do. I was keep thinking, because as an engineer, of course, I was thinking from this point, as an engineer, what can I do? What can I do something like innovative things, or can I create something with a new product, or can I invent something with engineering kind of product? But after about 2.5 to 3 years, this kind of processing period, I really felt engineering project is quite like a big scale. Quite difficult to make it so small scale to be something so innovative.
Yeah.
Because if you talk about something motorbike, something like a car, sure, it's a big team, so many people involved.
Yeah.
Kind of add to that. It's not that simple thing, not a one man show. So I feel like the whole process is quite complicated and it's quite take time. It's impossible to be so in a short period to make it something happen. It's better to be belong to some big maybe company who got the facility, who got the asset, who got the capital, who got the team. Can do this kind of engineering innovative work. So I felt the engineering kind of direction is again not my choice because my first priority was I wanted to create something for myself. I wanted to start something for myself. So I started to look into kind of more like a retail business, food and beverage kind of this direction. And then Malaysia advantage is not that strict license control about the startup, the food and beverage or retail shop. In Japan, it's quite difficult. If you want to start a food and beverage business, you must have a certificate. You must graduate from the study course or must have a certain experience or like that. But Malaysia, as I know, didn't really have so strict control by the licenses. Meaning is, my experience is not the requirement to start a business.
Less requirement.
Yeah, it was a good point also for me. Then I started looking into what kind of project I can take. So first, of course, I was thinking is something Malaysia don't have, doesn't have. I tried to bring it from overseas since I'm Japanese. Then I got some introduced by friends. Like a Taiwanese case was like a popcorn. It's like a round-shaped popcorn. It was quite like a new invented item.
Like
2011 or something like that. Come from Taiwan. So I visited Taiwan to have a look at the factory. Then image like just get the master franchise from Taiwan to bring into Malaysia to spread. This is one of the kind of idea, and also I visited. But the ones I visited, I didn't that much interest because I'm Japanese and then I'm not so much fan of the popcorn. I like it, but not so much. Like I love it or I don't need it every day.
Yeah.
So I didn't kind of into it so much. Then another one is for like a yogurt ice cream project from Korea. It was the time start to have a boom in Malaysia. So this case was bring the master franchise licensing from Korea to Malaysia. Maybe be the master franchise and then try to spread the product to Malaysia. But again, not so impressed about the product, also the branding, also the concept. Then finally keep doing this kind of research things. Then finally I encounter through my kind of friend introduced me about the master bakery chef in Japan. This master bakery chef in Japan, what he is doing in Japan is he owned the bakery shop. About now, maybe 3-4 direct outlet. At the same time, he quite focused on consulting base. And he teach how to start up the bakery shop within 5 days in Japan.
Within five days?
From no experience.
Wow.
So this catchphrase was quite interesting for me. And then I really visited his bakery in Japan. I flew from Malaysia to Japan and then I checked the bakery shop and then I really tasted and I feel environmental experience and then talk with the owner, this master chef. Then I really felt, oh, this is the one maybe we can bring to Malaysia. It's a start. So everything, how to
the,
make it.
how's the like your process like to, you know, to get to that point and say this is it? How did you get?
Because before come to this point, I was also, as you see, about 2.5 to 3 years, I was keep checking what I can do.
Yeah.
Then I researched so many kind of ideas, so many kind of research done with kind of people. Then I didn't feel so much. Then finally, why I felt this is the one, because maybe fit to the personal demand also. Because I wanted to do something I love. No, for example, I think I couldn't put my passion to sell the popcorn, or I put my passion to sell the red mango. Red mango is a brand for the yogurt ice cream from Korea. I didn't feel this way. But the bread, which I used to eat in Japan kind of almost every day when I was at uni, even in Japan, I'm not so choosy about bread or food. I am fine with even convenience or bread, but quite openly I was eating. So once I came to Malaysia, I kind of stopped eating about the bread, because I don't mean local bread is not nice, just the different. The Chinese style bread or the Malay style bread or Indian style bread. Yeah, it was quite different from what I used to eat other bread. Then I stopped eating. I decided to eat much more local food, something I cannot compare the taste. Yeah. Like nasi lemak, nasi goreng, or like mee, or like a local food. Because I cannot compare. It is the taste, so I can take it. But something I used to eat, like a bread, or like another one is like a pasta or pizza. But I used to eat in Japan, automatically, kind of unconsciously, I start to compare the taste. And then I quite difficult to accept. So I feel it was missing for me. And once I eat this MasterChef bread, then I could imagine, if I can bring this quality bread to Malaysia, first customer is myself, I like to eat this bread. And then second, if like me, maybe have a market, like even like a Japanese, or then even someone like Japanese, and someone know the Japanese bread, or maybe travel to Japan before, I thought this market must have in Malaysia. Maybe not everywhere, but someone need. So, and then again, it's a technical thing, but they can provide the know-how, how to make the bread. So it was quite good. So I felt this is the one.
I like that. How you process it, like because you really explored first, like check out a lot of things, and then you went through that part in a very logical way first. You know, like checking, you know, how does this process work? Is this gonna be, you know, good in Malaysia where you're gonna be opening up your business? And at the same time, you were searching for something that would click in you, like, you know, like this feels good. This feels cool. I love, like, for example, this MasterChef about the bread, you know, like, ooh, I like bread, you know, like this is that part of that, and you combine both, and wow, that's pretty cool. And because I think a lot of people, especially some of the clients that I talk to, want to start their own business, you know, in my coaching, and some would be thinking only on using one side, like, you know, being more very logical. Oh, it should be this, you know, thinking about the money part, blah blah blah, blah. And they have a lot of options, but they don't know which one really would have that passion in there. Like, do I really want to do this? Do I really like doing this? And then there's the other side who just wants to do their passion, you know, like, oh, I love baking and I want to start a business about baking, but they are not considering the other parts, which are the logical part, you know, like, can I really run a business? Do I know who are the customers that I'm serving, and blah, blah, blah. So I like how you process it to arrive into that conclusion.
Yeah.
And fascinating to me, like this master chef that you were talking about, he's still doing this, he's still teaching other people how to start their own.
Yeah. Okay. Quite doing well. He himself, the time when I got to know about him, he was doing the project in Japan was only like a 30-40 case in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, at the consulting base, but the name of brand, it doesn't matter. Just the know-how, how to make the brand is his strength. So about 30-40 cases. And then last year when I contacted with him, maybe more than 150 to 180 cases. Yeah, even having the overseas case, he direct phone shop to, I think, US. They just opened that own direct shop in US.
Wow, cool.
Yeah,
cool. I'm just very curious. So now let's move a bit into you as an entrepreneur. So how was the, so since, interestingly, 2013 was also the year that, I started my first ever business in 2010, somewhere around there. and then kind of like didn't go well. And because you mentioned the frozen yogurt, so I kind of like tried that. That was my first business. I tried it out. And so, yeah, it was very like a fad, you know, like it was very popular at first. And then so a lot of people, you know, joined the market and, you know, people started to lose interest, etc. And so luckily you didn't go for that. And then in 2013 was the year that I was exploring money in you. Well, not exploring. So I was exploring about more about business again. And then I got into money new program in 2013. And the year after that, then I restarted, you know, other businesses. So very interesting. 2013, very significant year for both of us as well.
So, but for me, is after that year, of course, I got some breakthrough. My money and you is 2015. So about this 2 year time, actually 2015 when I joined the money and you, I was not starting actually. So that's why when I attended the money and you part time, I couldn't get so much. Even until now, I talked to the persons. I couldn't get so much. I didn't have so much outcome. But after that, maybe about 1 year later, so about 2016, so I felt like it's so difficult time as a business. Then I start to encounter how money and you is powerful. And then I started back to learn more.
I totally agree, because what we learn from money and you is like so huge, like a lot of concepts. And exactly, like for me, I would probably have right now, like since 2013, haven't even applied half of it in my own business.
I agree.
So, but even if we just apply one into the business, you know, let's say for example, leverage, you know, a simple distinction, and the business can actually grow so much just with that, you know, learning, just one. So yeah, it's fantastic. But anyway, let's go back to you. Let's go back to you. So, so as an entrepreneur, 2013 you started. So tell me more about your journey as an entrepreneur.
Since 2013, of course, we are very tough, especially in the beginning. Deeper beginning, we are okay. It's about 3 months to half a year. We are quite okay because it was a quite new concept in Johor Bahru. It's a Japanese baker, Japanese owner, and then it's a new bakery shop in a new area. It's a quite like a, how say it? We got the pioneer stage and like a market advantage. So we got a quite nice kind of positioning in the market.
That novelty, like the novelty.
So we ourselves and then our business was doing well within like 3 months to 6 months. But after that, set to the point, sales really dropped. And then so difficult to handling of the cash flow. At the same time, so difficult to handling the human resource because we don't have experience to manage the people. Me and also, by the way, me, my wife, and one more for my best friend, three of us, he is a Japanese also. Three of us start together for this Uncle Bakery. My best friend is just startup support for me from Japan. He is really my best friend. And then now that was Kyo. He, without him, we couldn't really start. He is the one bring the fundamental know-how from this Matsushita from Japan to Malaysia. Then for me, it's kind of second layer already. He passed to me everything about the Matsushita know-how. So of course, I direct deal with the Matsushita, but the main point is I send my best friend to Master Chef place to learn the bakery know-how up to like 3-4 months in Japan before we opened. So he was the one brought to Malaysia. So anyway, this is the three of us we started together. Then this three of us, we didn't know how to manage the people. So this is a very challenging challenging period. Cash flow not going doing well, and then we don't know how to manage the people. So how to communicate with the staff, how to kind of arrange this thing, we also don't know. And then the customer service also, until how much we do, also don't know. So everything we don't know, everything new. At the same time, personally, I just had a marriage. And then I got just a baby at the same year. So it was everything come together. And then I was so kind of challenging period.
So this was
how we started.
This was still 2013?
So, 2013. Then about 2014, at least we start to have some point to understand about the business or running the shop. And then some stuff is getting some stable, and we could train them and start to get the other team start to moving on. And the sales also started back. But at the Master Baker Chef point of view, already he told me starting like 3 months to 6 months, after that maybe drop to like one third of the sale, daily sales or monthly sales.
Ah,
already focused.
Yes. Wow, but, interesting.
But I didn't expect and then ready for that. So our all the setup, all the manpower setup, all the SOP setup, all the like production kind of flow setup, all the like ingredient kind of interval setup, just kind of the good timing.
Yeah.
So once drop the sales, kind of we are not ready for that. For example, we employed the 10 staff in the beginning. And then after like 6 months, not only because of cash flow issue, because of human resource issue, of course gradually, but after half a year, about 9 of them already gone.
Gone, wow. 9, that's
yeah.
a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
So supposedly the operation set up by the 10 people operation, but now suddenly dropped to the one, let's say.
Only one person.
Yeah. And then at least me, my best friend, and my wife, 3 of us, of course together, there's 4 of us.
Mm.
But the 10 people operation try to handle by 4 people. Surely it's quite physically
demanding, tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's very interesting. So let me interrupt you for a bit. Because what I experienced when I did retail as well, when I did the frozen yogurt, and nobody told me about this, like the drop. And this is what I learned personally the hard way as well, right? So we were like basking in success. The first few months, like, whoa, like as a beginner, as a rookie entrepreneur, it felt so good. Like, wow, like I'm earning this much, you know, like I used to earn this much in a month and now I can earn it in a day. I was like, you know, shocked.
Yeah.
I was shocked and everything was so good. And then suddenly the drop comes and, you know, even though someone already warned you about it, you are really not going to be prepared for it. What I really learned from that, if I'm going to be doing the same business again, is to really hold tight on the cash, right? Because the cash that comes in at the first go is, you know, so huge. What I've done before is to actually reinvest that into the business, like expand immediately, like buy more machines. And if I've known about the drop, then I could have hold the cash first to, you know, help
go through that process. I agree.
Yeah, go through that process. So that's very interesting. And I remember one of your stories that you told me, which I really love to share with the listeners as well, is you really work hard in the kitchen, and your best friend as well, that he was sleeping in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. So that was dropped to the bottom.
Wow,
because it's a bakery. So our kind of kitchen starts from 3 a.m. at the moment. Now, actually, I start from 2 a.m. now. But anyway, time was starting from 3 a.m. So once staff all left, I mean, I cannot say all, but most of them were left. Then my best friend, me, my wife, and some
one more
staff. Yeah, one more staff. So the time, sure, we still need to manage to operate in the kitchen part, how to make the daily bread, especially today. So start from 3 a.m. So my best friend starts from 3 a.m. So me, depends on the kind of production volume or the situation, I start from 3 or 5 a.m. Then my wife starts from like 6 a.m. to start to prepare the sales side setup because our operation hour is 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. So my best friend and me, more or less like 3 or 5 a.m. until close, like 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. Sometimes depends on the customer problem, we cannot close the whole time. Then really no time to rest. But at least I got afraid to lie down upstairs in the office, and then I was staying there because I didn't have any other house. I was staying upstairs in the shop with my wife and one baby, and then with this best friend now. This the friend even no kind of time or no energy to go up, so he decided to lie down on the kitchen.
Wow!
Right, just take a rest, like 15 minutes, 30 minutes between interval of the timer. Wow. That was the most challenging thing, but the quiet, nice memory.
Wow.
And
the reason why I want you to tell that story is to me, I really like these kind of stories, that the reality of it, you know, how real running a business is. And I would always, when I teach us people as well about entrepreneurship and all this, I would really just not only tell the good side of it, you know, like the freedom, you know, the money, which I also experienced. Yeah. But at the same time, there's work to be done there, because a lot of people, you know, like who wants to start a business is because they're tired of their, let's say, 9-to-5 work. And I would always ask them, okay, you want to stop your 9-to-5 work? Are you ready to work like 16 hours, 18 hours instead?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But my point is actually, just at the beginning of the conversation, we talked about logic part and passion or kind of thing. But what I felt was, logic surely very important, logic or strategy part. But if only follow this to start the business, I think for my personal opinion, quite difficult to overcome, especially the difficulty period. If follow the passion to start the business, even how difficult or how kind of downtime, maybe more tend to be able to hold. So my part is I follow with the passion because I align what I want to do, what I feel to do.
Yes.
Not only because of the logic. Of course, I research really. I really try to find out what's the best for me, what for me. But at the same time, I really follow my feeling. So even how difficult, I really didn't have a mind to stop. How difficult this super physically tired and it's super mentally difficult and it's super kind of everything packed together, not only the business, in the part. What happened, why sometimes they get the argument and it's two of us put in the into this business. If without making the money from this, we cannot survive it. Even having the baby.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to take care, even still have a breastfeeding on this period.
Wow.
So I really felt because of this we aligned, we start with the passion. So that's why I really appreciate this my best friend. He is a bit a different kind of like a situation with me and my wife. I already into Malaysia, but my friend is really, based on my support, he really decided to come to Malaysia. But he really do this much, I really, really appreciate.
Yeah.
Because of the three of us, I could kind of break through this kind of difficulties. Yeah, if only think about number and the logic, I think we just kind of give up.
I totally agree with that. And that's what I've learned as well for myself. And as I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs just like you, and that's what I start to really, really get. You know, like theoretically, I know that I've heard of it before, like, you know, do a business that you're passionate with. But now I'm really, really, really getting why they say that, like to really find something that you are passionate with. And it's exactly like that. And then that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about the struggles, because if you don't like what you're doing, if you don't love what you're doing in business,
I'm learning. Actually, I'm also learning about one more thing. Is this passion? Maybe not enough. I mean, passion is very key word, but the passion is give us sustainable. We give us kind of keep going.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean as a financial way of success. I mean, doesn't equal.
Yes.
We still need to learn about the logic, strategies. So
exactly.
Yeah. So two kind of course need to have.
Exactly, and that's why I mentioned I really love your process of selecting when you started your business. Cool. But so for the listeners as well, so now they have gotten a rough idea, like, you know, like your process, how you chose your business, your struggles. The main question I also ask also is it worth it? Like, now that you have passed that, you know, trials and challenges, is it worth it?
Yeah, sure. Why I feel all this process works for me is because I think everyone, all the people, must have the difficulty in their life anywhere, anytime. But for me, my difficulty or challenge come my timing. But my image is because I start this kind of entrepreneurship or this bakery, that's why my challenge, my kind of difficulty kind of come to me faster. Once come to me faster, means of course I want to overcome, I want to break through. So once break through, I can go to the next step.
Nice.
So if don't challenge, maybe this challenge or this difficulty never come to me. Yeah. But of course, this is a bit depend on the personality. For me, I want to still improve. I want to go for much more further steps. That's why I understand we need to get the challenge, get the difficulty. Once overcome, go to the next stage. Mm. And then again, must have a next challenge. And then overcome and I can go to the next stage. So this process is already sure thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And also, I must enjoy about it.
Yeah.
Then me and you or like this, I think really help. Mentally.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready for that. Yeah.
Definitely. And what makes it worth it for you? Like right now, what are the benefits you're enjoying?
First point, mentally make me very strong.
Mentally, okay.
Yeah. But this is not only for business because I'm the I'm married and I got 3 kids now. And of course as a private also not the easy thing. Everything of course challenge in terms of the time goes by or the life. So kind of hard for this kind of strength or this kind of readiness for the challenge of difficulty is I really feel worth it. If I didn't have so much challenging thing, I think still I'm very weak, I guess.
Mm.
I like still like a beginner. not ready for fight for difficulty.
I like that.
If keep fighting for the difficulty, then getting maybe more, at least better and stronger. And getting no after challenge, keep going, keep challenging. I just break through some certain point, and then maybe can go for the next step. And like a wave.
Yeah, it is. I really like that. Anything else you think that you have benefited that makes it worth it?
Oh, this kind of mindset, I think effect to surrounding. Because when I talk with a friend, when I talk with a staff, when I talk with a family, I put myself every day into the learning stage. Yes, artists need to make the result, but the result and the learning more, result and learning more, of course, keep me progressing. So once I learn more, maybe I can support or I can help or I can contribute to the surrounding or society more. But if I don't learn, maybe what I can contribute to the surrounding is just this much. Nice. But if I learn more, improve myself more, maybe I can contribute something a bit more. That's why I feel like following the leaders, following to the great guys is quite, I think, important. Keep put ourselves in the learning stage, learning kind of position. Every time we need to know, we need to improve. Kind of never be kind of satisfied for this point. It doesn't mean satisfied, it's not like unhappy. But also keep learning.
Thanks for sharing that. And I really like this this saying that I got from one of my mentors, is that, you know, to be grateful where we are, to be grateful for where we are, and acknowledge that we are ready for the next level. I'm game, I'm ready to you know, give me the next level. I'm thankful that I'm where I am now. And at the same time, I want to go to the next level. So I really love it. So you mentioned it's worth it for you because it made you really, really mentally strong, and you can contribute, you know, because you've learned a lot more. Now you can contribute to more people as well. And really like it coming from you, because it's a different perspective, right? Because each and every one of us is different. And I always believe that business, or having and running your own business, is a great personal development program itself. Personal development program.
Yeah.
You are getting these things improved from yourself. And I for me, I've started several businesses, and now with the recent one, my new one, which is this coaching and training business, something shifted in me as well. Something transformed into, before I was really just looking at, okay, I'm going to start a business, you know, like the logical part. Because my main intention is to get passive income and things like that. But with this one, with the coaching and training business, what shifted was I want to master it. I want to be really, really good at it. And it coincides a bit into, like, you know, really learning more, because the more I learn, the more I become better, the better I can serve other people as well. So it's fascinating. So thanks for sharing that. And speaking about challenges, right?
Yep.
Now this year is a very fascinating year. It's already like half of it gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, with the COVID-19, the pandemic, the lockdowns, everything. And I know Malaysia started to lock down early as well compared to other countries. Yep. So how did you handle, how did the cafe, you know, adjust to whatever is happening?
Yeah, I think this, again, exactly working both of the passion and the logic strategy. So the passion part is, I think, never a stop for me. I really keep going up. I never think about stop or give up. So I'm quite okay with the passion. Then for the strategy part, so how to settle all the kind of follow to the situation and then still kind of in the business and then surviving and continue serving to the community. So first, immediately, of course, I discussed with the wife and then also the staff. First thing is surely minimize the expenses. Then the second, because of the bakery, it's not the restaurant. Luckily, the bakery is still essential line in Malaysia. So I could open the business. Just only take away, no dining. But the difficulty is the bread is not like a restaurant. After order, we can prepare. We cannot. We need to prepare first. Everything we need to baking first. So meaning is we don't know how many number of the customer are coming a day, but we need to everything prepare first. So meaning is our loss control is quite challenging.
True.
So how we did is we really encourage each single customer to pre-order. We request them to pre-order first. Then is the first thing. Because we need to straightforward, need to say to the customer, we don't want to waste the bread. Whatever we make the bread, we want to serve globally. At the same time, we need to adjust our product daily production. But if you don't pre-order for us, and we don't keep what you like, what you take the grad, maybe you cannot take once you come to our shop. So we don't want to happen this. We don't want to let you disappoint. So better pre-order. It's a really encouraging.
Yeah.
Then second point, personally, what I really do for this during the lockdown period was each single customer, as much as possible, I try to get the contact direct. I try to kind of, how can I say, super close distance strategy. Not like a mass production, mass media method.
Yeah.
Surely, I do Facebook for other things also, as a marketing. But must do the super close distance with the customer, which who support us regularly. So I try to get each single customer. So I found so many regular customers, but we never know the name, we never know the contact. So many. So okay. I start to get these things. Yeah. Nice. Now, during this about 2.5 to 3 months now, I already got the listed more than 300 customers.
Wow.
For the name and contact.
Wow.
Yeah. So this was a small kind of action, but accumulate for this 2.5 to 3 months. I got this list. So now, effectively, direct kind of marketing to them, introducing whatever we've got, the new product or new promotion or new kind of announcement, kind of super close distance with the customer to do the marketing.
Nice.
Yeah. So this one was quite effective. So once, for example, we got a public holiday, then we replace, because our shop is a Tuesday off, then sometimes we got a public holiday and then replace on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, 2 days off. So first point is I want to announce to this customer, we got the Monday off, is the first point. But at the same time, we encourage them to get the pre-order bread either Saturday or Sunday. So that my advantage is, first, we can let them know Monday is off. Who really potentially, high potentially come to our shop one. So they don't need to waste their time come on Monday. Then the second advantage is, because we encourage them to pre-order, so they really do, they really support us pre-order. So meaning it's like a Wednesday, Thursday period, start to have a confirmation for the order for like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So at least start to have a kind of base sales is getting already filled up.
Yeah.
Then of course the walking customer also have. So this is how we kind of strategically survive for this period.
Nice. That's
and at the same time, learning from like Emani and you or kind of this kind of learning session, I invest myself to learn more things. Meaning is digital marketing is one of the things. Because even how kind of I know it's an important thing, but I didn't really step into it. For the digital marketing, kind of online sales, because so many ways of digital marketing. So I invest myself to learn online kind of session for digital marketing. Then once I joined this kind of session, I learned a lot actually. It's quite effective for me because I already practically do the business. It's a physical shop, offline shop.
Yeah.
And then I got the knowledge about online business kind of knowledge and the strategy. I try to implement. Kind of my focus is not only put as a knowledge, I try to really take action.
Yes.
Without action, kind of no result. So I just put this only keyword, action. So when I was learning about this digital marketing, I was thinking how to digest myself. I tried to implement to the bakery, but I can take action. Then making some action, I got some results. And I felt happy with it, happy enough because what I invest for this digital marketing course, I already feel like I got back enough, much more than that. And then at the same time, I really learned, invest to myself is really important.
Yes.
In terms of for learning and improving. I'm not so materialistic. I don't really need a nice car or a nice motorbike or a nice house for now.
For now.
I don't know in the future. But for now, I really like to improve or I really like to know more things or to kind of self-learning things.
Yeah.
So I want to invest for these things for myself. It's I kind of realize how important.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. And I also teach this as well. Like when we start a business, the business will grow as we grow, you know, as the entrepreneur.
Yes.
So when we hit a limit, you know, the business will also hit a limit. So nice, interesting. And okay, so a lot has happened, and you know you've shared a lot as well. I think the listeners will be taking a lot of value from this conversation. Maybe just to they will. I'm very very sure. Maybe you can just, you know, summarize your learnings for the listeners, and then we can, you know, like start to wrap up as well.
Yep. Well, it depends on the audience what they want to do.
Let's say for someone who wants to start their own business, or maybe they're looking at, you know, starting a cafe or a bakery as well. So what kind of learnings did you learn for yourself that they can, you know, model from you?
Yep. I think, okay. comes to my mind now is really invest yourself first. Meaning is, as entrepreneurship, I think seriously very important to invest yourself, to keep learning, keep improving yourself is, I think, really the key. Because if maybe we catch this point, maybe even you start or whether don't start your business, I think still keep improving. Once you start, you still understand how important to improve yourself. So even how difficulty come up to you or how challenge come up to you, still maybe finding the resolution to break through this fear. So who wants to start a business? What I can share is that invest yourself first to learn more things in terms of maybe your expertise, what you want to go in the direction. If basically, yeah, maybe really invest yourself to how to maybe learn. But at the same time, not only technical things, if as a business. For me, it's even beginning, we know how to make the bread, let's say. How to make the bread is not good enough to do the business. Seriously. So running the business, like being the entrepreneurship, is quite much area I need to cover. But on the other hand, also I'm learning. It's impossible to cover everything by yourself. So if you go for super expertise, what you are so strong at or you are good at, maybe you can go for it. But at the same time, you need to understand how to partnership, how to work with people, how to kind of join the team. It's another way to do the business. Maybe not necessarily everything do it yourself. Which I'm learning also. So in that kind of structure, I think most important is really who you are, what your strength, what your expertise. If you are nobody, I think quite difficult to be even the partnership, even difficult to be a team. Because my image is, as a team, the point is everyone because of super strong expertise. That's why we want to join the team to work together. But if you are nobody, if we are not any specialist, quite difficult to be a team, I guess. That's why I keep finding what is my expertise. Either is a baker or as an entrepreneurship and an owner, or I'm just a communicator or I'm just a marketer. Which position is my super strength and expertise if I want to join to the team? Yeah. I also think this way. Because I think do everything by alone is quite limited. As General Jovan also talked about the leverage. It's totally not leverage, I think. So I want to implement and apply how to leverage. Is I think one of the key, I think the partnership and the team. So how to make a strong team and this partnership? First, we need to understand who am I? What am I good at? What I can contribute to the team? So I keep looking at this. And at the same time, I sharpen it, my strength and expertise. So at the same time, looking for what other people can do. Yeah. For example, just another digital marketing. I'm totally not intention to be an expert. I'm not. Just I need to know basic knowledge to maybe communicate with someone specialist about this kind of field to work together in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sure. This is something that I can share for now.
Nice. Cool. So good. Thank you very much. We're gonna be ending the episode with just some quick fire questions, and then you can answer it as short as possible as you like as well. All right.
Yep.
So the first question is, what are one or two books that made a huge shift in your perspective in life?
Oh yeah, now I get different again. Yeah, 12 cents.
12 cents. Yes. 12 yeah. cents. And who's the author? Do you remember the author?
The author is, I'm not sure, but talk about the Steiner, Rudolf Steiner. Yeah. It's an educator from Germany.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. So question number two, what is an unforgettable failure that created an unexpected opportunity or success? Failure. Yeah. Unforgettable failure that created an unexpected success.
Maybe what I can get is how I started the Bankobo is one of the biggest failure. Because in terms of I totally don't know about the business and the kind of experience.
Yeah.
Too lack of that. And then I started is one of the most failure. That's why it's so challenging, so much spending time. But on the other hand, if I didn't study, I don't have anything now.
Oh yes.
So this is a great success.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. So next question. What is one of your most worthwhile investments that you've ever made? So this can be anything, like, you know, time, energy, or maybe learning or whatever it is.
For everything? For now or?
Yeah.
Not the one moment thing.
What is your most worthwhile? Like, this is the best investment that you made for yourself.
Best investment. Maybe I all put together a business and a family in the one place is maybe most biggest investment. Because whatever I spend my investment, either the money wise or my time wise or my energy wise, I feel as long as I can grow, can contribute to the other place, the business also can grow, the family also be also grow, and the children also I can support something more.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. All right. Next question. If you can travel back in time and only meet your 15-year-old self and give one advice, what would it be?
Go to travel as early as possible, everywhere. Mm-hmm. But if you need a financial point, maybe you need to get it, how to settle the money. you work or you negotiate with the people to kind of give you or support you or loan for you. But my advice is go everywhere as early as possible. Over the world.
Nice. I like that. So, okay, next question. What is the proudest moment in your life?
Yeah, I think I can join this kind of Jovan possibility channel. I could successfully come into the top here now.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. But really.
The proud moment.
Do you get proud of yourself? Like you pat yourself on the back, you know, like, oh, Tomo, you did a good job.
Of course, yeah, the time being, yeah, I have some time still, but I cannot remember so much. The latest kind of things is, this corona period and pandemic period and lockdown period, but still I could make the highest sales in this year because of I apply and the action, what I learned from this digital marketing kind of course online. Yeah. I am proud of myself about that. I could hit the record about the highest sales in this kind of so challenging period. I got this proud of myself.
Yeah, man. I'm proud of you as well. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, not only one day. Kind of, I met the number 1, 2, 3 kind of during this period.
Nice. Yeah. And you just say it now.
Yeah.
Great job. All right.
Thanks.
Okay, so next question is, what makes you feel alive? Like, you know, vibrant in your life.
Doing many things at the same time. Whether I'm making the good result or good kind of outcome or not, it's a bit silly to decide. But when I'm doing many things at the same time, maybe I feel I'm all right.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So last two questions. What does success look like to you?
I think not only me, to surrounding kind of, cannot say everyone who until this stranger, I don't know yet, but at least me, kind of family and the friend, the staff, the customer, kind of in this kind of territory. So far, my success may be quite small, but including all these people, we kind of, surely easy way to say is happy. Happy to connect together, live together, kind of experience together, do things together is maybe my success.
Nice. So last question is, what does happiness look like to you?
Happiness. A bit similar things, but keep myself healthy. I can keep going up and I can do what I want to challenge for this in terms of the business or the family. At the same time, even if keep business is doing good, for me maybe not that enough value because I really need a family also. So family and the business, the alignment is very important for me. Like a support from my wife or support from the kids. If kids is totally cannot see me, keep working and cannot see me, cannot play with me also, surely consciously or unconsciously, surely affecting me, my kind of action and result. So my happiness is first thing for my kind of healthiness and also thanks for the support me to having the life like this and other kind of family and then friend and all the team. Yeah, this is the happiness thing.
Nice. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Tomo.
Thank you, Jovan.
Thank you for sharing your experiences, your learnings. I learned a lot from you as well, and I'm really inspired. So keep on going and be more successful in the future.
Yeah. Like this opportunity is really good for me also. Quite make me kind of summary what I have done in my life and maybe keep going for the next stage.
Nice. Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for your time. Really, you are doing a great job also. Maybe this is really work for me or work for everyone. It's you also supporting us. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.